This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Amid protests against police brutality, Fayetteville citizens have been calling for community oversight of law enforcement. The Fayetteville City Council voted to create a citizens' advisory board. That move came at a special session Monday evening. But the makeup of that board and its exact duties are still to be determined, and its power would be limited by state law that prevents citizens from seeing police personnel files. Will Michaels is a WUNC reporter. He covered the council meeting last night and joins us now. Hello, Will.
Hey, Frank.
Tell us what happened at that meeting last night.
Yeah, as you said, this was a special meeting by the Fayetteville City Council to take up a few different issues. One was talking about a movement across the country right now in the wake of the death of George Floyd called Eight Can't Wait, and it's eight policies that that some advocacy groups say would cut down on police brutality and police violence. The other was this resolution in support of a police advisory board. As you say, it is simply a resolution that doesn't have much practical power at this point. It is a resolution in support of some sort of board. We don't know what it would look like. That would provide some recommendations to police as far as policy goes, but likely would not have the power to review any instances of police misconduct.
Hence the term advisory board and not review board, and that came up for discussion last night, didn't it?
It did. There was at least one council member who said the original resolution actually had the language police review board. There was one council member Dawkins, who said that he would not support a resolution that had that particular word in it. A little bit of background here. The Fayetteville City Council has been talking about some sort of police advisory board for several years now. There is some disagreement as to what powers that board should have, specifically whether or not the board should be able to review complaints filed by residents against the police department, and whether or not that board should have either power to recommend action against an officer or power to actually take disciplinary action against a police officer. Some city council members are in favor of that much power, some are not. And for about 7 years now, there's been an argument over what this board should look like. It seemed to me from last night, because this was a unanimous vote in support, that the city council simply wanted to show support for community policing initiatives. Again, we don't know what this board would look like. We don't know what power it would have, and that remains to be seen. They've left it up to committees within the city to come up with all of those details, but they wanted to show some sort of support for a board.
And what goes on right now? I mean, I understand that the details of this new board really haven't been mapped out yet, but how might it change complaints against the department? How are they dealt with now?
Right. I think what I've heard from advocacy groups, including one called Fayetteville Pact, that is not the only group, but one group that's been very vocal about a police advisory board. That group says that, you know, they want more transparency across the board. What happens right now is that if a complaint is filed by a resident, and this happens in just about every police department, if a resident files a complaint, it's taken up within the department. The department takes a look, decides whether there is enough evidence or it has merit to continue to some sort of disciplinary action. But a lot of these cases are simply thrown out. And, you know, there have been calls by advocacy groups to make this process more transparent because police personnel files are not open to the public. And even if disciplinary action is taken, whether it is or not, that detail is not open to the public. So there might have been a complaint filed. There might have even been disciplinary action taken, but we don't know. And that is the point that some in Fayetteville are saying, look, we want to know all of these details. We want to know if a police officer uses deadly force, what happened? And if action was taken, why was it taken? If not, why not?
Well, let's talk about Fayetteville in particular. We talked, obviously, about the killing of George Floyd being the impetus and an inspiration for a lot of this, but things have been going on in Fayetteville in particular, citizens calling for this board and oversight. One of the more recent incidents happened between the community and the police department in the case of Trevor Smotherman in that case. Tell us about Trevor Smotherman's case.
Right. This got a lot of attention in November, you might remember. There was an incident at Cape Fear Valley Medical Center, and it got a lot of attention because there was actually a patient who started recording this incident on her cell phone as it was happening. And so what authorities say happened was that Trevis Motherman had been arrested the night before. This was early morning, probably 8 or 8:30 in the morning. Trevis Motherman had been arrested on charges of robbery and had complained of some sort of medical issue. He was taken to Cape Fear Valley Medical Center by a Cumberland County Sheriff's deputy. At one point, according to authorities, he requested to go to the bathroom. His handcuffs were removed. Police say at the point in which the deputy tried to put the handcuffs back on, Smotherman resisted. That's the point at which the cell phone video actually starts. And you can hear in the background the deputy saying, "Get your hand off my gun." The gun goes off and the deputy is wounded. At this point, the cell phone video goes dark because the patient ducks behind the bed. So we can't actually see what's happening from this point on. We can only hear it. And it is hard to hear everything, but what you do hear is Smotherman apologizing. He says, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." There's a point at which there's probably 20 to 30 seconds of mostly silence. A female voice then says, "Shoot him." And five shots are heard, and it turns out, according to police, that a Fayetteville police detective also happened to be at the hospital, shot Smotherman five times, and he died soon after.
All right, well, let's hear from Allison Smotherman, who is Trevis Motherman's aunt, about the need for an advisory board.
Any kind of internal investigation that's going on, this board should have their hands on. Any kind of video that they're listening to and all this stuff, they should have everything that they can determine and how, and so that they can oversee the police officers. You understand what I'm saying? I feel like the police can't police themselves, because evidently they're doing some dirty mess. They're doing some dirty stuff, and they don't want the public to know. Those days are going to be over.
Allison Smotherman, whose nephew Trevis Smotherman was killed by Fayetteville police in November. I'm talking with WUNC reporter Will Michaels. So last night, the city council votes in favor of some kind of advisory board. And you talked about the limits on this. Cities might want to place limits or restrictions or rules governing such a board. But the state also has rules that put a lot of restrictions on what a board can and cannot discover. Is that right?
Yeah, there is a state law that widely keeps disciplinary, as I mentioned, disciplinary action or personnel files, especially by state employees or public employees, rather, confidential. So in order for any police advisory board to have things like subpoena power or the power to conduct investigations, they would need legislative approval. Fayetteville actually sought legislative approval for access to police personnel files in 2013 if they were going to establish a board, and it really went nowhere. It stalled in a committee in the legislature, and Mayor Mitch Colvin said at last night's meeting that his indication from the legislature was that any sort of similar bill would have slim to no chance of passing during this particular session as well. So, you know, in some ways, Fayetteville City Council's hands are tied when it comes to some of the demands that advocates for police reform are bringing up. The City Council, don't necessarily have the power to say, yes, we're going to establish a review board and it's going to have full power to do all of these things. They can advocate for such a board, but yes, in order to get all of these powers, they would need approval from the legislature. It doesn't look like that's likely.
Let's talk about some other reform measures that advocates are promoting, including the so-called Eight Can't Wait. That came up last night. What happened?
Right. So this, as I mentioned, is a collection of eight policies that advocates say would lessen police brutality and police violence. They include things like banning chokeholds and strangleholds. Now, that, of course, has gotten a lot of attention since the death of George Floyd, who died underneath the knee of a Minneapolis police officer as he was pressing it into Floyd's neck. A lot of departments actually do not explicitly actually ban chokeholds or strangleholds. And I was looking at this. This came up briefly at last night's meeting in Fayetteville. But in the Fayetteville Police Department's operating procedures manual, I found that chokeholds and strangleholds, again, are not explicitly banned. They are listed as something that can be used as a last resort in use of force cases. So they're not explicitly banned. What Chief Gina Hawkins said at last night's meeting and how the mayor described it as well was that, look, if police have no other choice, it's something that they can use if they want to. It's not a practice, according to Chief Hawkins, but it is something that under very, under duress could still be used. So they did not go so far as to adopt the eight can't wait policies.
All right. WNC reporter Will Michaels. Will, thanks so much.
Thanks, Frank.